I always want to say it's good to see you, but that's not necessarily true. I do see a few people. I pay people to come on Wednesday nights just so I don't have to look at a blind groom. But we are glad that you're here this evening. And we're going to continue the series on how to live the blessed life. And we've been looking at the Beatitudes. But before we start on Matthew 5:8, let me just say a little bit about our plan for Sunday. And it's always changing. We had a wonderful time Sunday morning, last Sunday, outside. Matter of fact, a lot of people wanting to meet outside. Only problem with that is this Sunday, there's a 60 to 80% chance of rain. And I don't think anyone wants to meet outside with rain. So the plan that we have going right now is that we will meet in the Family Life Center at 10:50. We still plan to do the Facebook Live. Will we be able to do the FM? Plan to do the FM radio as well. And so we'll have some other things. One of the things we suggest is that you bring a face mask and wear it. We'll have sanitation stations. We suggest that if you're sick that you don't come, and we would suggest that every week. But there will be more information on Facebook, and so please pay attention to that, and hopefully you will be able to keep up. We had a great time. It was just fun to be together. The Family Life Center, the gym, just is spread out where we can practice social distancing, and we just look forward to meeting together again. Let me lead us in a word of prayer before we get started. Father, I thank you so much for the Beatitudes because they teach us how to live the blessed life. And the blessed life is not the rich financial life or everything going right life. The blessed life is living in the blessings of our salvation that give us joy. So, Lord, as we look at this one tonight, which is a really cool one, help us to not just understand it, but to apply it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This on?
I guess I will.
Nothing like last minute.
Nothing like a last minute change, but if we do the FM correctly, then it's on this. So anyway, Matthew 5:8 is one of my favorite Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," and here's the part I like. It says, "For they shall see God." Now, the word blessed is always a complicated word to try to define. And I found another definition that describes what it means to be blessed, because you hear people say it all the time. An athlete will say, after he's won a big game, "I'm blessed." Someone will talk about, "I'm blessed because of my job." Another person will say, "I'm blessed because of my house." And really, that's not what is meant by the word blessed in the New Testament. I like this. Blessed implies the condition of well-being that results from salvation. Blessing implies the condition of well-being that results from salvation, the status of one who has a right relationship to God. So in other words, if you've got a terminal illness, you can be blessed. Why? Because you have a right relationship to God. You have a right relationship to Him. You can be blessed if you don't have a job. If you lost your job, doesn't mean you've lost anything spiritually. And so, you know, when you say you're blessed, what you're talking about is you're pretty well off spiritually. Like you're saying, "I'm blessed by God's unconditional love. I'm blessed by God's forgiveness of my sins. I'm blessed by God's peace." So it really has nothing to do with financial success or achievements that you have, but it has everything to do with spiritual blessing. And that's why I want you to get that down, because I want you to be able to say, "I'm blessed," and know what you're talking about. You're talking about the blessings that come from your salvation. So we're going to break this verse down, and it's a cool verse. First of all, let's look at the word heart. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." The word heart in the Greek is a word called cardia. We get cardiac, heart, type issues from that word. But in the scripture, it has nothing to do with your physical heart. The word heart is used in the scripture metaphorically to represent the inner person, the seat of your motives and attitudes, the center of your personality. You see, in the scripture, it has to do with who you are. It has to do with your insides, your attitudes, your motives. And it also has to do with your thinking process, particularly your will. So when we hear the word heart, we're talking about our inside, who we are as a person, our decision-making process. And that is one of the things we need to remember, is that it's not talking about your physical heart. As a matter of fact, the heart in the scripture is the control center of your mind and your will, as well as your emotion. And so when Jesus is talking about being pure in heart, he's talking about being pure on the inside. And we say that a lot. We'll go, oh, they are so cool. They're cool on the inside out. And there is truth to that. Jesus does not look at our outward, superficial, hypocritical, religious actions to judge whether we are pure in heart. He looks at the inside. You see, the Pharisees were some of the best at trying to have an outward appearance of religion. The Pharisees were those kind of people who had the scripture. They would wear it on their heads. They would quote the scripture. They would tithe. They would do all these things. But when Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he said, man, you're messed up. And he was looking at their hearts. So really and truly, this beatitude is talking about you and I on the inside, and how our inner man should be, and how important that is. It's all through the scripture, and I just want to give you some Old Testament scriptures to show you this wasn't a new concept when Jesus mentioned being pure in heart. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 4:23, here's what he says. He says, guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. You need to be in control of your heart, or you're going to go in the wrong direction. In Genesis 6:5, it says this, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, what was the problem? When God looked down in Genesis 6:5, he looked at their heart, and guess what? It was evil. Psalm 51:10, David said this. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, David, after he had messed up with Bathsheba and he confessed his sin, he asked God to give him a clean heart. In Psalm 73:1, it says, truly, God is good to Israel. And listen, it says, to those who are pure in heart. You see, all through the scripture, God looks to the heart. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You know, a lot of times I've had people come to me and tell me that they just felt right about their decision, even though their decision went against Scripture. They'd say, well, I just have a good feeling in my heart. We've got to understand, you can't trust your heart. Your heart needs to be monitored by the Scripture. And then in Matthew 15:19, Jesus said this. He says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. You see, it begins in your heart. Sin just doesn't appear. It starts within you. And we need to understand that your heart needs to be pure. And that it's the struggle we all have. It's the inside. You can look good on the outside. You can go to church. You can look biblical, carry a big Bible, but you cannot have a heart that is right. Well, the next word that is interesting is the word pure. You're not just supposed to have a heart. You're supposed to have a pure heart. The basic meaning is to make pure by cleansing from dirt, filth, and contamination. In other words, if we're going to have a pure heart, we're going to have to clean out the inside. We're going to have to get rid of the dirt and the filth and the contamination. It may be sin in your life. It could be worry in your life. It could be fear in your life. But we need to understand to have a pure heart, we have to have a cleansing. But it also carries the idea of having a pure motive, of being single-minded. You have undivided devotion, spiritual integrity, and spiritual rightness. When you're pure, you're headed in the right direction. There's no filth, but it also is single-minded. It is centered on God. And we need to understand that's what God wants us to have, a pure heart. And Christianity really should be from the inside out. You know, we used to, I'm almost ashamed to say, the church used to get people to try to change on the outside. You know, if you come to church, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do this, you need to dress like this. And we tried to change them on the outside. And for a while, they maybe followed the directions. But with time, a lot of them went back to the old way. And I've often wondered why. Here's why, I think. Change spiritually should always come from the inside.
Amen.
And then it works on the outside. And Christianity needs to be from the inside out. And so, if you're blessed, that means your heart's right. It's clean. It's single-minded. And then God can help you and bless you. Now, the question is, are you clean on the inside? I can't judge you. I can only judge me. What is your thought life? Are you single-minded for God? Are your motives pure? If the answer is yes, then you're headed in the right direction. But let me just talk for a second about how to have a pure heart. How in the world do you get a pure heart? And if you're a Christian, it's a struggle you're going to have the rest of your life. And so here are four things you can do to have a pure heart. Number one, ask God to reveal your sins to you. Now, when you get saved, doesn't mean you quit sinning. It means you get better and you try to get rid of the sin. But one of the things we all need to do to have a pure heart is to pray a prayer like this. It's found in Psalm 139, verse 23. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." There's that word again. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. In John 16:8, it says, "And when He comes," talking about the Holy Spirit, "He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." So here's the deal. In order to have a pure heart, you have to clean up. And the way a Christian cleans up is by asking God and asking the Holy Spirit to make us aware of those sins in our lives that need to change. So what's the second step? Well, once you ask, if you ask with a right heart, He's going to show you your sin. Now, your sin may not be something like a murderer or adulterer. It may be you just have a bad attitude. And what do you do with these sins? Once God makes you aware of them, you confess them. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us," I like that word, "from all unrighteousness." So we find where the dirt is, and then we confess it, and guess what? He cleans it. We need to understand that confession is important. Now, I know what a lot of us do. I used to do it all the time. We get ready to go to bed, and we have this prayer: "Lord, forgive me for all the sins I did wrong today." That's not confession. That's laziness. I mean, that's the way I used to close the day every day. That's why when I get up in the morning, I confess my sin when I have my time with the Lord, and then as I go through the day. We need to understand confession literally means to agree with God about what He says is wrong in your life. So that's the second thing, confess your sin. Third thing, you got to stay in God's Word. If you want to have a pure heart, you got to have God's Word on the inside. I love Colossians 3:16. It says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, deeply." Every one of us need to let God's Word dwell within us. Why? Because that's how you begin to change the way you think, as you begin to put God's Word into your heart, your mind, your will. Remember, that's what the heart is. Then He begins to change you from the inside out. Romans 12:2 says it best. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Remember, your mind is heart. You change the way you think. And then He says that by testing you, you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So we've got to stay in God's Word. Why? Because it changes the way we think. It helps us to think differently. And then the last one, the fourth thing, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Now this is a hard one. And on Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit for several weeks and how it should control everything. But in Galatians 5:16, it says this. He says, "But I say, walk," it's another word for live, "walk or live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, how do you do that? Well, I think number one, you have to surrender and just say, "Lord, I'm going to follow You today." It's to say, "Holy Spirit, take control, take charge." It's basically giving the Holy Spirit the power to control your life. When you do that, that's when you begin to have a pure heart, when you do those four things. But let's look and close with the blessing, the result. What is the result of a pure heart? What takes place when you're clean on the inside? When you're clean on the inside, the blessing will be you will see God. It's a future indicative tense in the middle voice, and it literally can be translated this way: they shall be continuously seeing God for themselves. In other words, when you begin to have a pure heart, you begin to get it. You begin to feel close to God. You begin to feel intimacy. I haven't seen God, but I tell you what, when my heart is pure, whether it's a song or whether it's the Scripture, on the inside, I feel His presence. I know His presence. And we need to understand that there are a lot of people who look at Christians and say, I don't get it. I don't know why you want to go to church. I don't know why you do this and do that. It doesn't ever do anything for me." Well, I would be willing to guess many times the problem is their heart. It's not pure. Because the beauty is, if you have a pure heart, He promises you that you'll see Him. You'll see His plan for your life. You'll see His presence. You will experience Him in a way that is meaningful. And I think so many people don't have a meaningful life, which God wants to bless you with one. One guy said this, and I think it's so true. He says, he talks about purity of the heart cleanses the eyes of the soul so that God becomes visible. The cleaner your heart is, the closer the relationship, the more you see Him, the more you feel Him when you have a clean heart. And when you experience that, guess what? You're blessed. You're blessed. Church means something. Your faith means something. And so the result of purity is being able to experience God and the joy of seeing Him and knowing Him in a personal way. That's the goal. So I love this little beatitude. And it has helped me often when I felt distant from Him, or I didn't see His plan for my life, or I didn't feel His presence or His love. Many of those times, it's because my heart was dirty. Clean up from the inside out, and you'll see God. Well, that's my prayer for you this week, that you will experience Him. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You so much for this beatitude and the truth of it. That when our heart is pure, when we're clean on the inside, it's going to come out on the outside. And Father, many Christians want to experience You, and they really don't understand. They don't get it. And part of the reason is they're not clean on the inside. Help us to follow these directions and experience what it means to be blessed. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.